the only station that shines the light on the paranormal, Paramania Radio. The end of the world quickly approaches. They predicted it several times before, but this time, they really mean it. Join Scott Morrow, the Fearless Ghost Hunter, this Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern for 2 hours and find out together whether the world ends or if it's just another day as usual. Only on the Paramania Radio Network. Throughout all of creation, now there is a show that discusses the revealed God versus the taught God. A show that explains how religion and science are more closely married than many believe. And a show led by two clairvoyants. Join Ellen Hartwell and Diane Garris every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern for The Third Eye of the Christian. Sponsored by VoiceOfTheAngels.com. Only on the Paramania Radio Network. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Paramania, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where do we go when we die? What lies beyond and what lay before? Is anything certain in life? They say life is too short, the here and the now, and you're only given one shot. But could there be more? Have I lived before? Or could this be all that we've got? If I died tomorrow, I'd be all right. Because I believe that after we're gone, the spirit carries on.
Now for a diverse view of life and the afterlife as we begin Understanding Spirit. And your host, Alan Cox.
Hello, yes, it's Alan Cox live from the UK, starting about 35 minutes late, as I normally do, but my excuse is I've been stuck in traffic, and yes, traffic over here does get rather congested, but hey, I'm here now. Please check me out on www.calmingthoughts.com, and my guest this week is Dave Erickson, the owner, joint owner of Paramania Radio. Hi, Dave.
Hello. And wait, you guys have cars over there?
Oh, yeah. it's all the ponies and the carts, you know, cart horses.
There you go. That's a lot of ponies in that one.
just remember, right? All you over there, majority of you originally came from over here.
Well, that's true. And the other thing to remember is we're paying less for gas. I don't know why is, but every time I look at gas prices, it's still cheaper here, even though we think it's outrageously high.
Shall I tell you what it works out at the moment in comparison, right?
Sure.
We're paying £1.38 a litre. Because they do it in litres over here now, which convert, time that by 4.5, so it's around about £6.30. And put the difference in our currencies, it's about $10 a gallon.
Wow. Wow.
And at some stations, you might even work out $11 a gallon.
Wow.
And you wonder about the cost of living, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I just paid $3.29 a gallon.
You poor devil.
Wow, I knew it was high. I just didn't know it was that much. Wow.
Yeah, honestly. And because of our problems with our recession and that's how we're not in recession, but I mean, end of the day, I think we are. That was going to put another 3 pence, which is about, 5 cents a litre on in January, and they've postponed it till next August. Aren't they kind?
Thank God.
So, I can fill my car holds about 12 gallons, and to fill it up, it costs about £80, which is, about $130? To fill my tank up.
Wow.
It's nonsense, isn't it?
It is. It's absolutely absurd. I just, that's the kind of crazy stuff that's going on in the world right now with economies and stuff. It blows my mind. I just don't understand how people are expected to survive in this day and age when things are just so overly inflated in price.
Well, I know our system over here is totally different to yours, with social and things like that. But you take my mum, for instance, right? She's 87. And the last government, the Labour government, they introduced a winter fuel payment, which was £400, as a one-off payment to help with the fuel costs for the winter. Now, this government's come in and suddenly somebody over 80 doesn't need £400. They only need £300 because they've dropped it down by 100. So it's like saying, isn't it going to be so cold under the Conservatives as it was under the Labour Party? So, and they say it's because we've got to cut our cloth. But that seems to be life, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I do wonder, people listening might say, well, what's this got to do with anything psychic or spiritual or anything? But what goes on in our daily lives actually affects us psychically, spiritually as well, doesn't it, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the things you deal with you in your life, your work, just out the street and the grocery store can really, make or break your day sometimes if you let it.
That's
where the key is kind of buffering yourself from some of the outside influences in the world.
Well, that's what happens, you see, when we're in a material world, which we all have to live in. It kind of overtakes us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like we lose sight of what really is important, because it's the way our society is created. We seem to have no choice but to get ourselves embroiled in it, because when you got to pay the gas, the electric, and your council tax, and your other bills, it's suddenly you have to come down into this world, whereas I much prefer to be in the other one in my mind. But it don't always work, does it, Dave?
No, unfortunately, at some point you have to go pay the bills and be able to and make some money in order to eat and just to live your life in this world. And sometimes I wonder if we've gone way off course and what the world was meant to be like. But unfortunately, it is what it is. And the only thing you really can do is make the best of it and choose how you perceive the world around you. Choose how you relate with it.
That's very true, Dave. Probably a lot of people know that you've just moved home and it hasn't been just down the road. And The last couple of weeks, I would imagine, have been very stressful for you.
Yeah, well, as you probably know, we called it the Hell House, and
yes,
we decided to move so far away that we're two states over.
It's right, okay.
There were multiple reasons. I mean, we decided to move to an area where we actually had a couple friends that we knew, as well as there was an office with my company. So I didn't have to change jobs. It was just a matter of relocating. And that's also cool. An area that the cost of living is a lot less. So it's in the end, we're going to get more bang from our buck for whatever that's worth.
Well, you know, it's like that over here, because if you live in London or the surrounding areas of London, the house that we're living in, which is a nice semi-detached house in a nice rural area, but if you found a house same size in a nice suburb around London, you'd probably be paying this is going to sound crazy, 2,000 to 3,000, depending on the borough, £2,000 to £3,000 per month to rent a house. And where we live, we pay £498. And if you go further north, you could get this house for about £350. So it makes a mockery. Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's like New York City, a little small, what they call rail car type apartment, where you may have a bathroom and a single room that is your bedroom, kitchen, whatever, but it's very, very small. And they're usually room to room to room, or just two rooms, or whatever it is. They're in a straight line. And you can pay, and this is like in the Bronx, okay? You can pay $800 or $900 for that small, tiny apartment. But if you go to get something that's the size, more on the level of the size what we just bought for a house there, you're talking millions of dollars.
Oh, that's
in New York City. It's just millions of dollars. Whereas here, this house, it might be, I don't know what the actual cost is off the top of my head, but it's under $200,000. So.
Well, you know, like depending on the borough in London, if you buy what they call a townhouse, a terraced house, a house that's probably been built 150, 200 years ago, in certain boroughs, that you can pay nearly $2 million for a house like that, in pounds, that is. So,
which is about three and a half, almost $4 million in dollars. So,
yeah, and you think about the haves and have-nots, and you can understand why there's so much people very disillusioned, can't you, in life?
Well, and it's honestly, I just I mean, and what I do, I'm a Unix systems engineer for a living, and what I do for a living. I make a decent salary, but I really don't understand how other people get by who make less than me, because we struggle, and it's not like we're going out and buying expensive, flashy cars or spending a lot of money on toys or, gadgets and stuff like that all the time. It's very rare that we go out and do any major expenditures, but we struggle as well. And I just do not understand how people who make less get by when I know they're in the same area as us. They're, they have the same type of bills as us. And I just can't comprehend that. It's gotta be, if it's stressful on me, I know it's gotta be really stressful on them.
Well, if you think about it, Dave, in some ways good having this conversation, because we might be thousands of miles apart, two different, totally different countries in that, in lots of respects, but the problems are just exactly the same, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. You see, we may be in different countries, but we both have a Disney World.
That's right. Well, ours is in France.
Oh, true. That's true. But it's in that you can get to it. It just might take you quite a while.
I've been to the Disney World in Florida.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, about 29. I think it was 1987 or 88. I know it was the 60th birthday party of Mickey Mouse. So. Whenever he was in, 60 years after his conception, so I think it was about 88, I think. And that was the only time I've been to America until I fly there on Sunday.
Yep.
Yes, to Arizona. So,
do you have any stop-off flights anywhere near North Carolina?
No, I suppose I could always parachute out.
Oh, there you go.
Now it's a direct flight to Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now my arms will get tired, I would imagine. So I could probably, like, flapping your arms to keep going. Because how do these migrating birds do it? Quite amazing, really.
I don't know how they do it because they'll go great distances over the ocean to migrate, and I guess they just land in the water and take a break or something. I don't know. I'm not a bird. I've never figured that out. But so you got a direct flight. So that's going to be a pretty long flight, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's from Heathrow. I leave at 3:05 Sunday afternoon British time, and it takes 10 hours and 40-odd minutes or something.
Ooh.
And I arrive about 6:45 Phoenix time, I think it is.
Oh, that's a long flight.
But the part I don't understand, coming back,
it's faster.
it's no, yeah. Yeah, it's about nearly an hour faster.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either, but it has to do with the jet stream, which is the airflow at 35,000 feet. When you're coming this way across the United States, going over the East Coast towards the West Coast, you're actually going into headwind at 35,000 feet. When you're going the other way, you actually have wind on your tail pushing you usually, and it's just the way the jet stream flows. So
Oh, is that what it is?
yeah, now you take advantage of that when they're flying in that direction to reduce their fuel costs. See, there you go, saving money on gas.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, that's fair comment. Oh, dear, come on,
But
man.
yeah, that's why I used to wonder that myself because I used to do a lot of flying out to San Francisco for work a number of years back, and it was like it would be 6.5 hours one way and then 5.5 the other way. And I'm like, how the hell did that work out? It doesn't make sense.
Well, thinking about this, I'm trying to get my head around how big America is, right? So I've got like so it's, say, around about a 10-hour flight. And probably half of that is getting over from here to your coastline. And then the rest of it is flying across your country.
Yep, that's about right. That's about right.
Can't quite get my head around that. But when you live in a small country in comparison, I mean, the whole of the British Isles would probably fit into one of your states.
I'm not sure the exact size of the British Isles, but
Well,
I'm hoping it's bigger than Rhode Island. That's all I'm going to say.
right. Well, work this one out, right? If you look at the map of Britain and you're on the mainland of Britain, it doesn't matter where you are, you're no more than 72 miles from the sea in whichever direction you go.
Okay, then you probably are smaller than Rhode Island.
But the length from John O'Groats down to Land's End is, I think it's about 830 miles or something like that, give or take a mile. In the length,
Right.
but if you look at the shape of our country, it's a very peculiar shape, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I just pulled it up on a map.
Have you? Yeah.
It's something I never do really is look at geography. But yeah, wow,
Well,
that is
if you look in,
small.
well, if you look in the middle, right? I don't know whether he puts names of towns and cities up, but you've got Birmingham right in the middle. And I live about 15 miles north of Birmingham.
And just so the listeners know, I'm actually going on maps.google.com to look at this so I can see exactly. Oops, that one. Okay.
So geography course
Okay,
you're tuned into.
I see Birmingham now. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. Well, if you go about 15 miles north, there's a village called Essington, and that's where I live. And I'm about 5 miles out of Wolverhampton, and it's a lovely place actually. It's out in the country. We're only a couple of miles from suburbia, and then the main towns like Wolverhampton, Walsall, and what have you. But we're just let's put it this way: this is amazing. We get one bus down our road a week. That's on a Tuesday, and it takes you to Walsall to the market at 10 o'clock in the morning and can bring you back at 4 o'clock in the evening. So you need a car where we live.
Yes, yeah, you do. Okay. Okay, so, yeah, I see Warsaw. Okay.
Yeah.
This is kind of cool. I've never actually looked that close to the UK. It's amazing. I mean, because, yeah, the U.S. takes up this massive amount of land, but when you look at the population density over here, and this is one of the other reasons I'm really grateful we moved to where we did, the Maryland, D.C. area around the capital, you know, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area, I should say, around the capital of the U.S., the population density is so high that the cost of living, everything, housing, everything is just overinflated because the demand is there, but the supply isn't. It's just, you know, normal capitalist economics. And so in that area, people's tensions tend to run high. There's a lot of traffic jams. There's a lot of just everyone's in a hurry. Everyone's rushing. And it's just kind of brings you down after a while. We moved down here and I'm like, wow. Okay.
You're in North Carolina, but which town or city are you in?
Yeah, we moved to a town called Knightdale, North Carolina, and it's just a little bit out of Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. I believe if I'm correct, Raleigh's the capital of North Carolina. If I'm wrong, right. I apologize. I just moved here.
Okay.
I still remember Annapolis is the capital of Maryland where I was from. So I'm, you know, just near Raleigh, North Carolina. And I was actually in a traffic jam last night. And by comparisons to traffic jams, I'll take them down here any day over the ones that I came from. Because there was a short bit of road, and I think I got through it in 2 minutes. but it's just the people down here are so much nicer. They're so much more. The word I want to use is laid back. Laid back. They're friendlier. They're not as tense, and it's kind of, I just like that. I mean, I went down the office and I actually spoke to a few people in the new office that I'm going to be working in, and just really nice people, which, you know, back in my old office, they didn't know you. They wouldn't talk to you. They were just really, really closed off kind of people.
Mind you know, we've got areas like that over here. If you like the area that we live in now, I wouldn't say that particularly over-friendly, but you only go about 5-6 miles away, and everybody, even if you're walking down the street, will just say hello to you. It's most peculiar at different areas, and you get around London and nobody's got no time of day for you at all. And like in Scotland, if you're in the main area like Glasgow and Edinburgh and that, people don't. When they find out you're English, they don't want to know you. But if you go to the top of Scotland, Perth, Inverness and all up there, and you open your mouth and realise you're English, they absolutely love you. It's most peculiar.
Everybody loves a Brit.
Is that right? Is that what it is?
Around here it's the accent.
I was going to say, I don't think the Iranians do at the moment.
Well, okay, maybe not the Iranians. But over here, if you have a British or Australian accent, I worked with this guy, and he's back in my old office, but I worked with this guy who's from Australia originally, and he's a U.S. citizen now. But I could just sit there and listen to him for hours. I just love the Australian and British accents. They're just pleasant to listen to. I don't know what it is about it.
The strange thing is, right? You know, I've got that many friends now, including yourself and Jen, that talk to regular in America. That I love American accents. So you know, we've got a mutual respect here, whatever you want to call it, admiration.
We don't have accents. What are you talking about?
Oh dear! I think you've moved to the wrong state, haven't you? You ought to go down to South Carolina.
Well, you know, South Carolina, is a little bit more southern twang to it. But here, I actually because we had a few minor issues getting moved in here. We moved down. We finished packing the U-Haul Saturday morning and drove down here. And normally it'd be about a 5-hour drive, but you know, you have to stop, eat, restroom, you know, that kind of thing. So it took us about 6 hours to get down here, and we get down here and we find a few things. Like the water's not on when we had expected it to be turned on Wednesday before the Thanksgiving holiday. And so that's not on. So we're like, oh, great, because the first thing we wanted to do was pull the essentials out, like the mattresses and, you know, stuff so we could take a shower and stuff like that, and then just go to bed and then unload the U-Haul in the morning. U-Haul's the truck we rented. So the water is out. So we ended up going to a hotel, and we found this nice little place called Residence Inn. It's like they're usually set up so that you can rent them longer term, like if you have to stay there a couple months or something. But it has a nice little kitchenette and stuff like that. It wasn't very expensive at all, and they allowed pets because our poor cat was traumatized because he had to ride in the car for 6 hours. And so we get there and we're all set up and all that, and I call the water company, and they find they have an emergency after hours hour, and I call them and I tell them what's going on, and I get this guy who had to be the most nicest, courteous guy I've ever spoken to in the world. I'm not used to this because I come from Maryland, and he's like, well, you know, he has a very thick North or South Carolina accent, and he's just very kind, and he's like, you know, nope, sir, I understand you're coming from Maryland down North Carolina. I'm really sorry about this. Normally we wouldn't turn the water on for that because it's supposed to be done during the normal business hours. But, you know, since you just moved from Maryland, I'm going to do my best to get someone out there. And you know what? The next day, I think it was like 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night, someone was here and turned the water on, and, They took care of us. So we only had to stay in a hotel one night, which is great. And because the cat at that point, it took him 4 hours at the hotel before he would come out of hiding.
Oh.
He's like, what the heck is going on? You're changing everything.
I remember when I went to Florida. And we were staying in Miami, and we went up to Disney World, and went up on the, well, you call it the turnpike, don't you? You call it motorway. And I pulled in at service area. This is on the way back because we was going home the next day, but I needed to put some fuel in, so I was only going to put in like $3 to get me back to Miami. And I pulled up at the pump, and this guy comes running out, and he says, that's for an attendant there, and you'll pay a lot more for your fuel if you want to move to the other one. So I hadn't spoken at this point, and I said, okay, right, thank you. So I move round, and he come to me. He said, I'll serve you anyway. He says, where do you come from in England? And that. So I want to go to England. So I went in to pay. And you know they have these promotions on at the garages and that. You know, you buy so much petrol, get a token, save your tokens, and you get a free tumbler glass or something. Mm-hmm. Well, they was giving away Miami Dolphin big glasses, you know, with an handle on and that. And it had got the signs up. You got to, I don't know, spend something like over a period of time, something like about $50 or something. And he says, present from America. And my eldest lad, Andrew, he's still got that now, because we went to see Miami Dolphins play New York Jets while we was there. And I think at the time the stadium was called the Joe Robbie Stadium. And we've got some really nice memories of America.
Yeah, speaking of self-service, they used to have that when back in Maryland. They used to have a pump that was service pump, and then they had self-service pumps. Now they're all self-service in Maryland, and down here I think they're all self-service also. But New Jersey, now there is an interesting state where the gas attendants are unionized, and it is against the law for you, unless you are a union gas pumper, to pump your own gas. They will not let you do it. When you pull up to the pump, and they don't charge, pay extra for it, but when you pull up to the pump, they have to pump your gas regardless in the entire state of New Jersey, which just blows my mind.
That is their local law.
That's the way it is. The whole state of New Jersey, if you want gas, they pump it.
Weird.
It is. It's absolutely crazy. I can do it. I can take care of it. No, sir, you don't understand. You can't. No, I can. No, you can't. Like, okay. The first time I went through the New Jersey Turnpike just blew my mind. You said we call them turnpikes. There is a couple turnpikes, but usually we just call them highways or whatever. But yeah, the New Jersey Turnpike's a unique one because obviously you're taking it on the way to New York City, but it has the unique smell of Elizabeth, New Jersey, which is. I'm not sure what they'd make there, but wow.
Really?
The most foulest smell in the world when you drive by in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Really?
We call it the armpit of New Jersey.
Oh, charming. Oh, dear me. Yes. Yes, it does make you wonder, doesn't it? we've got crazy places over here. I think I've talked to you about some of them before. Where... the way people talk, and we can't even understand them. It's most strange.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what that accent is. That's a really thick British accent that's hard to understand.
What, mine?
Not yours. No, yours is, you're very easy to understand. Is it called Chitney or?
You mean Cockney?
Cockney, yeah. Is that the one that's really thick?
To me, the accents that really are to understand is the Glaswegian accent. Sometimes the Newcastle Tyneside accent, and the most strangest, which I know I've said to you before about, is the Black Country accent. Mm. Areas like little towns called Tipton and Sedgley and Gornal, and they talk a totally different language altogether, virtually. Well, I think I've given you examples like, if somebody came up to you and said Bistio coming or Bistio Bay, what would you make of it?
I'm not sure what to make. I think I'd run around, turn around and run.
It means, are you coming or aren't you? I've learned that. Bye.
Well, I told you about the Dundalk accent, which is a little small section of Baltimore, Maryland, which they are very, very, the accent is very like, let's see if I can do it. Howdy, hon. How you doing? So it's a scary thing. If you've never been to Dundalk, Maryland, experience that in person, it's very terrifying.
But when you think about it, Dave, right? Aren't accents quite amazing? Really, why did they develop the way that they did? That one I said about the Black Country accent, believe it or not, is the original English accent. That is the original way that people over here hundreds of years ago used to speak.
Well, it's the term homogenization. I don't know. We're so interculturally mixed at this point because of the internet and radio, television, and all that stuff. That I would imagine over time you're going to see a blending down where these thicker accents are going to be less and less and less and be more rare because we're all going to be brought up around, at least the next coming couple generations are going to be brought up around more enriched, connected technologies worldwide.
Yes.
Which may or may not be a good thing, but but it's like I told you before, I'm still hung up on British comedies like Are You Being Served? So, and that's been off the air for a while.
Yes, just a little bit. I must admit, I do think we do well with comedy over here. And what I've noticed since I've got to know a lot more American people is that our comedy isn't really that far different. I think if anything, perhaps us Brits are a bit more, I don't know what the word is, a bit more tongue-in-cheek, perhaps a bit more sarcastic.
Well, I'll tell you this. I used to think that, and don't take this offense to this, I used to think British people were stuck up just because of the way the accent sounds. But
yeah,
what I have found is that the really stuck up pretentious people are over here in the United States. The people, because British television at nighttime is a completely different world over there than it is here. Things are a lot more loose, I would say, over there. You're more open minded.
That surprises me.
But over here, we're pretentious little snobs. Hate to pick on us U.S. people, but it's true. I mean, we're in a lot of ways closed-minded to certain things, and I don't know if that's because of our upbringing, religious teachings, or what. But there's a lot of.
Now I tell you what. Right, an observation from an Englishman, right, to America, right, is that I find that I know that this is a generalization, so I don't mean everybody's like it, but family seems to be more important, perhaps, than it is in some areas over here. And there seems to be more people go to church, more religion over in America than there is over here. And I don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing. That depends on how you look at it. There seems to be more people over here who live away from their families. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that from personal experience, where I've got my one son who lives 2 or 3 miles away from me, my stepson 2 or 3 miles away, and then one son lives 120 miles away north, and then my other son lives 180 miles away south from me. And we seem to have a society over here where it's kind of very fragmented, where you still get families who do cling together, but it just seems to be a lot more diverse, which I find is a strange thing.
Yeah, and I can see that. I'm not a good example of that because I just moved 300 miles away from the rest of my family. And what's interesting is Gary, a fellow show host here on Paramedia,
yes,
UKPN Radio, he also mentioned about there's less religious, I don't even know what the right word is. Religion is just, it's just less, well, it's more spirituality than it is serious Catholic, Christian, you know, mainstream religion kind of thing. And
well, the churches over here, in general, do have to fight to survive, to be honest. They don't get big congregations. It's only at certain perhaps times of the year and what have you, like Christmas, Easter, things like that, or that they can have a full house. A lot of times they're almost empty.
You know what else they are? They're more, from what I heard from what Gary said and a couple other people over there, it seems like they're more friendly to mediums, those churches. Because you'll actually have churches where they'll invite mediums in.
Well, it's the spiritualist church. You don't have spiritualist churches over there, do you?
Well, I don't know if we do. I don't prescribe myself to anything specific, so.
No, I don't, and I don't go. I've only ever been to a spiritualist church once, and unlike most religions, because it is a religion, it's all about the hierarchy and control, and and people telling you what you should and you shouldn't do, and then being judged. Well, you know, it's we shouldn't be judged. And just for Patty in the chat room, I'll say hello. Have you seen what she's written? No, she says Alan forgets to say hello. He says hello.
Hello. Hello. Cheerio, mate. There you
is
go.
Is that how I sound? Is that how I sound?
I probably do a poor British accent, so don't use me as an example. But
I tell you what.
We do have some spiritualist churches and stuff around here, but they're not as popular, I guess, as the mainstream religions. And I don't have anything against people's beliefs in those religions and so forth, but I do agree with you that it was originally more about bring order from chaos and controlling the population to get people to start coming to line. And some of the tenets of those religions actually are good things, you know, being kind to others and all that. So all that good stuff. So I don't have a problem with it. I just have a problem when people take their religious views and just cram them down your throat.
I agree with you.
It drives me nuts. I'm just like, I can sit here and have a conversation with you, but please don't sit there and expect me just to convert overnight to what you believe just because you say so. I mean, no one intended that. And I think that all religions have a piece of the truth, and yes. I think that that's the way it was meant to be, that none of us have the complete truth, and we won't until we are spirit.
That's right. Yeah, I agree with you totally. And it's like I'm doing this radio show, we talk about spirit, you know, we talk all about different aspects and what have you. But, you know, in my daily life, I don't go around saying what I do or anything. If somebody says to me, what do you do? Then I'll tell them. Mm-hmm. But I am not one of these people who is talking to somebody and go, oh, I can see so-and-so's with you or so-and-so. It's like, well, if you was a carpenter, would you suddenly start up a conversation and say, this is how you make a chair? You know?
I work in IT, and I surely don't talk about computers as the first thing when I talk to someone, because next thing they go, oh, can you come fix mine?
That's right. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I believe in what I believe. I know the truth, like you know the truth because of what happens to you. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you could talk to somebody who doesn't believe for now until the cow's coming for milking, and you wouldn't convince them until something's happened to them, would you?
No, absolutely not. And I don't view it as my responsibility to convince them. I just one of the things we do with the Paranormal Research and Resource Society, as well as with Paramania, is we just want to present several different views. We want to present information in a format that is open-minded to those who listen and allow them to choose for themselves. They can believe or they not believe. They may have different beliefs, and that we can all share that and get together and talk about it and be respectful to each other. And I think that's what's important, is just accept that other people are going to believe different things, and accept if everyone accepts that, and everyone accepts that we're all right and we're all wrong, or we're all a little bit right or whatever, and it's okay if other people believe other things, then we'll be better off. But a lot of people take the hard view of, you know, this is my way or the highway, or you're going to go to hell because you don't believe in such and such. And I will say this, because I know you probably want to go to a break. But I will
say, is that you always saying you want to break?
But I will say this before you lead us there. Day one of moving in here, I got accosted by Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, we have them over here.
Oh my God, they came to my door. They were trying to give me pamphlets, and I was like, okay, I'm literally in the process of moving in. Now's not a good time.
I'll tell you a good way of getting rid of them if you don't want them, right? Just tell them you're a clairvoyant. They run down the path so quick they almost fall over themselves. Seriously. I think they're talking to the devil incarnate.
That's a lot nicer what I've said before, but okay.
We don't seem to get them where we live, because we're too far out. Well, where we used to live in West Bromwich, I used to get them all the time. And this one day, I opened the door and they said, about your beliefs and that. So I'm a clairvoyant. They could not get down that path so quick. It was just unbelievable. So
that's funny. I'll have to remember that. I'll have to remember that.
Oh, I don't know. And and one of Anne's aunties is a Jehovah's Witness. And they actually say, and they believe that there's only them going to be saved when the day comes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they think happens to the rest of the millions of us, but But that's,
yeah, that's just a very closed-minded view, and that's their belief, and that's okay. But
that's fair enough. Yeah, but
they just need to accept that I'm not going to believe that. I don't think that I don't think any of us are turned away as long as we are good, try to do good.
Yes, I agree.
Period. We're gonna go where we need to go. When we are held back by severe guilt or at doing actions that are evil or truly evil, then I think the only thing that separates us from us and God or heaven is us. And until we learn to be better, then we are stuck in what would be what you would consider hell. That's what I believe. I think hell is self-induced, really, for a lot of spirits. That I think that's the case.
I agree. And if you think about it, Dave, you can create your own living hell as well, can't you?
Yeah, you can do that in life too.
That's right.
You could live 8 years in the hell house and not move out until finally.
Well, perhaps I've given you a taste of what it would be like if you don't behave yourself, Dave.
Exactly.
Oh dear. Yeah. Okay. Look, if you want a break, we'll have a break. Okay. After all, it is your radio station. You own it. I'm just an intruder, Dave. I turn up occasionally.
Not an intruder. You're always welcome here.
Cheers, mate. Yeah. Shall we have a break for a few minutes and we'll come back with some more.
Okay.
Understanding Spirit with Alan Cox will be right back in just a few moments.
We'll be right back. Are you tired of the day-to-day hustle and bustle? The traffic? The office? And as if you didn't have enough to worry about, you just found out that there are spirits among us. Join Jody Kim for Spirits Among Us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on the Paramania Radio Network. Do you need some music to move your soul? Then sit down, put your feet up, and start rocking with Doc. Yeah, hey. Check the schedule for airtime. That's Rocking with Doc with your host, Dr. Dave, only on the Paramania Radio Network. Take three London lads. Season it with a pinch of humor. Stir in a cup full of debate and discussion. Then sprinkle it with a little controversy. And then add one guest.
Hello.
And there's your recipe for UKPN Radio. Join Gary, Darren, and Stuart every Sunday night from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern, only on the Paramania Radio Network. The only station that shines the light on the paranormal, Paramania Radio. And now we return to Understanding Spirit with your host, Alan Cox.
Hello. Yes, I was a bit premature there. Couldn't wait to start talking again. I've been told I've talked too much. But this is Alan Cox with Understanding Spirit on the Paramania Radio Network. And my special guest this week is no other than Dave Erickson. And with a bit of luck, Dave's on the other end still there.
Hi, Dave. Hello.
That's good. Is Jenny feeling any better? I hope she is.
No,
Not about coming on the show. I mean, just how she's feeling better.
No, I went down and checked on her while we were on break, and I honestly think she's going to need to go see a doctor. She's in a lot of misery, really bad sinus infection. She gets bad sinus infections, but it's worse when we travel. So we just moved to a different area, so it's different, slightly different climate, and she usually gets a really nasty sinus infection, probably lasts her a couple of weeks unless she goes to the doctor.
I know, because she was like it a month or so ago, wasn't she?
Yeah, because she had just come back from Indiana.
Yeah. Well, where you are, further south, I presume the temperature's a little bit warmer, is it? Or?
Oh, my God, yes. It's so much wonderful. I mean, it's so much better than Maryland weather.
Yeah.
It's gonna be nice. They say it only snows a teeny bit down here, which is awesome.
Well, I tell you what quite amazes me, you know, going over to Sedona on Sunday, and Manny said to me, he says, just wear your normal clothes that you wear in England this time of year. And I checked it out, and he says the average temperature is somewhere between 40 and 50 degrees this time of year. And that surprised me because, you know, you're on the, you know, the Arizona desert, So it did surprise me. And about a week ago, 10 days ago, they had some flutterings of snow, flurries of snow. And, you know, you just think of deserts as being hot, don't you?
Yeah, well, that not only that, in Maryland we had snow. It was the middle of November. So I actually had to go drive out to Indiana Actually, I'm trying to think of when this. No, I'm sorry. It was October. We had snow in October because I was on my way out to Indiana to meet up with my wife, who was already there for a couple of days, and then pick her up. And we were going to that Halloween event, and on my way out, the first 3 hours were torture because it started snowing and the roads got really icy in Maryland. And once I got past it, it was fine. But I was like, it's October. We're not supposed to have snow this early.
Actually, yeah, that's right. Jody is just put Arizona is great for respiratory problems. And Manny, who I'm going out to visit, he's been extremely poorly. And that has been part of his problems. And since he's been in Sedona, his health has improved no end. So, you know, yeah, that's fair enough. Perhaps I should mention my next week's guest, Dave, because he's certainly worth listening to.
Yes, absolutely. I think I'm back now. I lost my mic there for a second, but Manny Fox. I actually Googled him a little while ago. You kept telling me to Google him, and I kept not getting around to it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to Google him.
Yeah. And what did you think when you Googled him?
I was like, wow. I mean,
that's right.
He's had things to do. He's produced stuff with Bing Crosby's stuff, Louis Armstrong. He's done a whole bunch of musicals, plays and stuff, and.
Barbra Streisand, Orson Welles, Marlon Brando, The Who, Bob Marley and the Wailers, and he's 76. He'll be 77 on the 6th of December while I'm out there, and I've become really good friends with Manny in the last 10 months, and he's achievements over decades have been quite phenomenal, and we're great friends. He's a great guy to know, and we're going to do a live show, all being well, from his home in Sedona on Panoramania next week. This is going to be weird. I'm going to actually be 2 hours behind you instead of 5 hours in front of you.
Exactly. And you're probably going to be tired. But, you know, it's going to be interesting because someone like Manny, who's had such a, I guess, illustrious career is a good word, choice of words for it. To just know how a man ticks, and you're going to talk to him about his spiritual beliefs too, which is cool, because I think that plays a large role in who you are. And it's going to be interesting to see what drives him to produce all this stuff, to do all these great works. I mean, that's a lot of work. That's hard work. And there are some people some people, you know, we all have different gifts and talents, but some people just make it look easy.
Yes. Well, Manny has got an incredible story to tell. And I'm going to leave it for him to say. All I'm saying is, anybody listening out there, you really wouldn't want to miss next week, I tell you. And he wants to record quite a few shows while I'm over there. So it might be that for quite a few weeks I might be playing, if that's all right with you, Dave, some of his, you know, the other shows that we're going to record while I'm with him. But he's had an incredible negative thing happen. And that's how I know him, because he contacted me, and we just become great friends, and with one of his sons, John as well, and it's quite an eye opener. And he's actually in the process of writing his next. He's just completed his next show, and they're actually in process of putting it all together. So he should be having another Broadway hit very shortly. So
cool.
Yeah. So anybody who wants to check him out, just Google Manny Fox. And
You'll be able to find him, trust me. It didn't take me long. It was the top five hits were all him, you know. So
yeah, that's right.
but you know, it's my goodness. It's just – and I think what's interesting, what you said, and I'm really anxious to hear more about this, what negative thing happened to him, because it's like people who end up striving for greatness and do great things usually come from some sort of background where there was some sort of extreme negativity. It's like they escape it and they find a way to live life. Because I think a lot of us, day in, day out, live our lives in this little, like, hollowed out shell of a reality. We're just barely functioning. We're just going around, bouncing off walls, you know, like mice trying to find their way through a maze. And some people break free of that because they have extreme negative things that happen in their life, and they find a way to turn that negativity into an extreme positive thing, and they end up creating such amazing things, beautiful things, and helping others. Which is awesome, whether it's through, you know, musicals or music or through charitable events or mediums, like my wife, you know, what she's doing right now, what you're doing, you know, it's like you take that bad thing that's happened to you and you turn it around into something beautiful and good, and it blossoms.
Well, I mean, he's, the way that he looks at his work, okay, he can make a lot of money out of it, but he sees it from the point of view of putting a message out to people, also providing a lot of work for a lot of people, including the actors and actresses and the backroom people and, you know, and everything. So he actually sees what he does is it isn't just a selfish thing. It's like, I've got to know him, and it goes beyond just being able to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, that is what motivates him, obviously, you know. But his creative skills are just quite amazing. So I'm really looking forward to it. And what's quite incredible is that his son John has paid for my trip to go over. He's even upgraded me, so I've got a better quality seat on the plane. Wow. There's going to be a limo with a driver waiting for me at Phoenix Airport to take me the 120 miles to where he lives.
How posh!
So yes, it's going to be quite an incredible experience from my point of view, but. And John and his business partner Jay, they're flying down from New York to be with us, with his dad and with me for 3 days as well. So it's going to be quite an amazing experience. And these three guys I'm talking about have become really good friends with, yet we haven't actually met. So it's going to be quite a strange thing, like a reunion, even though we haven't actually met.
That is cool. Yeah, the world's much smaller these days with the internet. I have to comment. I know this is off subject, but I have to comment. And Patty, you said I sound much better, happier. It's in your voice, et cetera. That's because the room in is echoey. That's all. It's very. There's nothing. It's a very large room, and there's nothing on the walls.
But isn't it also that you should be playing the song Freedom?
Yes. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Free at last, free at last.
Well, you should actually have that as your signature tune on your show, Dave. Hey, Freedom.
By which verse, by whom? Which one are you referring to?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Because I was thinking about your freedom from moving from the hell. I can, it's awful. I can hear it in my head, but I can't put it into words, the song.
I got a Peter Paul Mary, No Easy Walk to Freedom. That kind of applies.
That's probably even better.
There's Pink Floyd, A Great Day for Freedom. I got a bunch of songs.
Right. Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting now, Dave, now you've moved, whether it's going to be a lot easier to get on the air. I know you sent me that email and you said that everybody else was having no problems. It was just you with the
distorted what frequency. You call it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had so many problems. And Jenny and I talked on one of the breaks, and we decided that we were going to take it as a message from something telling us that it would not be a good idea to do a Ghost Box session that night at the new house. So we decided to not do that that night. We ended up just reviewing the stuff we got from the last week at the old house. And we had plenty to go over because there was, we did end up doing three sessions. There were some problems with batteries being drained on us constantly during that show. And the first two sessions were rather short. And the last one, when I overcame them by basically taking away their ability to drain my batteries, we got much more. But what's interesting is during all three of those sessions, there was a lot of communication in them.
Really?
Quite a bit more than usual. But we were getting a lot of interference, and the interference was actually to the point where you can actually make out EVPs in the show. So if you catch that show on demand, on Distorted Frequency, on the on-demand section here at Paranormal Radio, you can actually hear during some of the distortions during the show when people are talking, other voices are chiming in. It starts to break up, and then another, you'll hear a voice on top of them or stuff like that. We had a couple instances of that. But we decided it wasn't a smart idea to do a ghost box session that night, whether they were warning us or they were just trying to, something was just trying to mess with us. I don't know. Now, I will say this, we did not move alone. There is definitely at least two things here that I know of, only because I have gotten EVPs from them. When I do EVP sessions at house, I don't like to ask questions that often. For the sole purposes, I'm not looking to invite things in. So what I do is I just turn on the recorder, turn the gain all the way up, and I just let it run, and I just pick up what I can pick up. And what I did end up picking up was the same little girl's voice that we caught before in the old house, picked up as the name Ariana. And we picked up a male voice who was saying, "I'm not going to hurt you," and you hear Ariana respond, "You're not going to get anywhere near me." I don't think he was negative, but from what Jenny's picked up on Ariana, it's I think she's just afraid of men, because Jenny said it took her a long while to get used to me. but she ended up coming with us, and she's fascinated by the computer, so I wouldn't doubt she's the one sitting there waving her spiritual hand through the computer causing all the problems.
I did say to you, you said you was going to get some photos over so I can do some work.
Yes.
I said, if you can get those over to me on email, it'll give me something to do for 10 hours sitting on the plane.
There you go. Well, hopefully it won't take you that long. I mean, we don't have a swarm of people. I mean, one of the things Jenny and I were talking about, she was talking about last night actually on a show she did, was how crowded it felt at the old house. And I didn't really notice it until I wasn't there.
Yes.
It really felt really crowded there. There was not many people there, but there were a lot of spirits there, and they would... It was like, because they knew we were going to be doing that ghost box session every week at Wednesday, they would crowd around us, pushing in line, like, "I want to get there. I want to get there first. I want to get there first," that kind of thing, trying to get their, whatever their messages is that they're trying to get across.
Yes.
And it really did feel that it wasn't oppressive at the end, but it did felt a little overwhelming as far as crowded feeling, so... And it would be like you could walk down the hall. And one of the things I end up doing when there's a spirit really close to me is I end up hearing a loud ringing in my ear. It's kind of like my little early warning device. And the reason I can tell it's not tonight is because the sound actually moves. But I would hear loud. You'd be walking down the hall, and I'd walk into like this wall of ringing, and it would just be deafening to the point where it's painful, And yes. That's usually when I walk right into something. And that would happen a lot at that old house. There was just so much around. I mean, Jenny being a medium doesn't help. She tracks things anyways, because they see you and her like beacons of light. So they're like, "Ooh, yes. I want to talk to him."
Well, yesterday, right, we went out and I know you shouldn't do it, but we left the washing machine on when we went out, and it had probably only got about 5 or 10 minutes to run. And when we come back, the washing machine was halfway across the kitchen floor.
Really?
It was in the middle of the kitchen floor, yeah.
Was it running when you left?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it was. We knew it was running. But okay. And we, I mean, that that washing machine has been in the same place since we've had the kitchen done a year ago, and it nothing has happened to it, you know.
Okay, so this is a clothes washing machine, right?
Yeah. Okay. Clothes washing machine. Okay.
The skeptical investigator in me has to ask: Was it over unbalanced? Was there a heavy load in it?
No.
Okay.
No. And is one of these ladies who she'll wash everything separate, you know, different colours and everything like that. And if there's something, a piece of clothing that she really likes, she'll wash it separately. So our washing machine never gets overpacked, never. And it was, and I moved it, I could feel the energy there, and I cleared it. And the washing machine's been on about 3 times since then, and it hasn't even budged. And then last week, now get this one, the plug in the socket for the kettle out, so it was just hanging in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yes,
that happens. I mean, just the other night, I'm trying to think, I think it was last night. I actually stepped away during one of the shows I was doing. It was Wednesday night. During one of the shows, I stepped away for a few minutes. When I came back, now the cat was, which would be the only thing that would have moved anything while I was out of the room. The cat. That's living. The cat was sound asleep downstairs in our bedroom where Jen was. She was awake, but she was down in the bedroom. And when I came back, the microphone was not where I left it, and the little windscreen, foam windscreen on the microphone was about 6 feet away. So that's not where I put it. I didn't knock it over when I left. It was, you know, but it was definitely something that tried to move it.
I'll tell you something, it's rather crazy because with us, being doing this kind of work, you have to be open. We protect ourselves, we have to be open. And we do get targeted and we do get attacked and we go and clear other people's homes and that. And that's great, but we have to be on our guard that much. And it's like you, Dave, doing your own paranormal radio station. You become a target for them, don't you?
We have evidence all the time.
Yes.
Just listen in. There's bound to be something paranormal happen on the air.
I tell you, it hasn't happened for about the last 3 weeks. Perhaps nearly a month, because we've brought in a big team of guides to round the house. But you'd be sitting there in the evening, and the front window, you'd hear it go, bump, bump, just like somebody was running and bumping into the window. And, you know, we don't live near the road. Our garden at the front is quite big.
No, I know exactly. I know exactly what we're talking about, because when Jen was dealing with the boatload of a spirit attachment she had from Henryton, when she was meditating trying to get rid of them, we were in the car once, and it was like someone threw a handful of pebbles at the roof multiple times, because you were going to go pop 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 pop. And the other thing is, we would hear. We had a couple instances where we actually took steps to forcibly push something out of the house that was being rather oppressive right at Henryton, and to the point where I actually saw a black mass go down the hall and shoot through the front wall out of the house with my own eyes. And that when that went through the wall, there was a loud pop. And so I think of it this way. Spirit is – we are energy. We are spirit in a body. But the spirits are just energy. And so when they travel through physical matter, when they're close to our plane of existence, they end up interacting slightly with it. So it does create sort of a pressure change around their energy field.
Yes.
So when they pass through a wall or something really quickly, and usually when they do it really quickly, you're going to hear a pop. Like a little pebble or something go at the wall.
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense, that does, yeah. I mean, going back, I think it's about 3 weeks ago or something like that, we was going down the lane just down from the side of our house. It's a lane, but it's quite a busy lane. And it's like you've got the fields, trees either side and what have you. And there's suddenly an almighty bang, and you felt the car shudder on the roof. Mm. And I almost felt like, I thought like a brick had landed on the top of, there's no bridges or anything, you know. So there was nobody about at all. I stopped the car, and there was nothing lying on the road. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a dent, a mark, nothing on the roof. There was just no obvious physical explanation for it. So strange things happen.
Honestly, that sounds sort of similar to something that happened when we were leaving Henrington the last night of the investigation. Two individuals on the team were attacked the hardest, and to the point that one of them was unable to move. It was a direct demonic attack, and the other one, who was trying to free her from this attack, and we were trying to get her off the property, he was also attacked. When they got in the car, because we sent them on the first car out of there, because we wanted to get them, since they were being directly attacked, we wanted to get them quicker away from the scene, because we had taken one car and parked the rest of them somewhere else, so we would attract attention while we were down there. And not because we didn't have permission, but just because the police didn't want to attract other people to come on the property. So we sent them away in the first car that came back to get all the cars. And as soon as they pulled off the road, and it was raining, but what happened was, it was like something charged the side of the car and actually bumped it 4 feet, and it hit the back end of it really hard. There was no damage to the car at all, but that everyone inside that car felt that bump as if someone hit the car, as if another car hit the car. It was that strong of a hit. And I can tell you this, when we were walking off the property, you have very clear EVPs of growls. So whatever it was pissed.
Yeah. Working at the opposite end of it, with being protected by good spirit, going back about 4 years ago or something like that, we were down in Cornwall, and we was doing a spiritual, it was called the Fairy Fest on Bodmin Moor. And we was traveling from the town of Bodmin to the moor.
I'm sorry, I have to comment. You realize what that means in US, right?
Yes, I do. The fairies, not the type of fairies you
okay.
Right.
Sorry, it just made me laugh.
Okay. So that's the differences between our two common language.
Exactly.
Excuse me, I'm coughing. So I was driving down the main road out towards the moor, and it's a fast road, and it's two-way traffic. It isn't a dual carriageway. And there's this car waiting to come out of this, like, country lane, and there's a country lane right quite opposite, so it's like to go across the main carriageway to get the other side. And it's only a small car, a Ford Fiesta that, they are over here, that tiny cars. And as I was driving down, she suddenly comes out, and it's like the wheel had been taken out of my hand by my guide. And there was traffic coming the other way, and there's traffic behind me, and it's literally as if everything stood still in time, but we were moving. I went right across to the wrong side of the road. She hit the car I've got now. She hit the passenger rear door with a great thump, and then it was we released type of thing from each other. I can't remember getting over to the correct side of the road and pulling up, and she pulled in behind, and she got out, and she was shaking. Only a young girl in her 20s, and I was shaking and saying, "Look, I'm really sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And I said, "It's okay, are you all right?" She said, "Yeah, I think so." I said, okay. I said, that's the main thing. I said, we're okay as well. Mm-hmm. I said, let's go and have a look what's happened. And it never dawned on me as I walked the rear of the car and walked past. They didn't I looked in the, I thought, where's the dent on a car? The front of a car. I mean, these small cars, you hit somebody and they
crumple.
Just literally. Yeah. And the bumper goes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I go around to the side of our car. You know, there wasn't even a mark, a scratch, a dent, nothing. Mm-hmm. And she kept saying, but I hit you. And she said, please type my name and my phone number in case you find any damage after. So she says, can I have yours? I said, yes. I gave her one of my cards. And she saw psychic consultant investigator. Talk about freaking her out.
I bet.
And I said, well, we were being watched over, weren't we? So the following day, I phoned and she lived at home with her mom and dad on a farm, and the dad answered the phone, and she says, are you the gentleman who was so kind to my daughter Rachel? She says, she's such a lovely girl, I've never known her tell a lie. She says, and she told me what happened. I said, yeah. She says, the only thing we found wrong with her car is that a one headlamp was slightly pushed out of position. She says, and I've put that right for her. She says, but I just can't understand. I said, well, I said, we were being looked after. I said, God, guides, angels, whatever you want to say, we were being protected, you know. And he said, well, if you're ever down this way again, you know, if you can't come in, and I never did, you know. But that's the other side of spirit, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's not only the dark that can influence. I think the good spirits or angels or guardian angels, whatever you call them, or your guides or whatnot. I think that they only interact when it's absolutely necessary to keep you on your path.
Yes,
and otherwise they to a degree let free will take its reign. So I think what happened was that acts, or the other possibility is something on the opposite side of the fence, going to the dark side, was trying to cause that accident, and they interceded to prevent it from being worse than it could have been.
I think that could well be the truth of it. Because, I hadn't really looked at it like that, but I think you're right.
Yeah,
there.
Because I've seen, it's like, okay, I've told you, I think first time you had me on the show, I told you about my experience, what I believe to be an angel.
Yes.
And all I can tell you is it looked to me, from what little I can remember of the situation, because what had happened was it was 4 in the morning. I was driving home from working a very late night shift when I worked. I managed a little Caesar's Pizza place. And I was 4 in the morning. It was like one of those busy weekends, like homecoming weekend for the local high school or something. And driving home, really exhausted, really tired. And I nodded off at this point where the road does a really sharp turn. And I started, if what happened didn't happen, I would have gone straight off the road into this barn, and who knows what would have happened to me. But I remember hearing something say my name, seeing a bright white light, and seeing something that looked like a bird person with a 15 foot wingspan.
Wow.
Swoop down and push me in the right direction, and I grabbed the wheel, woke up, and I was wide awake the rest of the way home because I was freaked out. And so I think there are guardian angels, there are angels out there who are working towards good purposes to keep people on the right track, because we're all here to serve a purpose. And the question, we may not know what that purpose is, but in some way we're here to serve a purpose, and there are those who we can't see, or most of us can't see, I should say.
Yeah.
Most of people like me can't see, that are working to help us along our path.
I agree with you totally. Well, while you've been talking, Dave, on the chat room, most peculiar things have gone on my screen. It's like the screen where you're in chat has kind of gone over itself, and I've got like two of everything but it's like from the top, from the bottom to the top, it's in two, and from left to right, it's gone in two.
That's weird.
It really is strange.
Well, I will tell you this: we've had so many weird problems with Zat, which is the free chat room we use. There'll be times when you'll be on there, and then all of a sudden you'll see messages people typed 5 days prior. So,
really?
nothing surprises me with that.
Anyway, I think it's time that we said goodbye to each other.
Is it that time already?
Yes, 7:03. Incredible. Wow. Mind you, I've only been on for an hour and a half, haven't I? So it's probably. But I'll tell you something. It's been absolutely fantastic. I hope you've enjoyed it, Dave, because I have.
I definitely have. I was kind of hoping Jenny would come on and talk about her experiences at the new house too, but she's under the weather, so hopefully she'll get better soon.
Well, with her permission, I'll send her some healing over, and she's got our love sending to her from over here anyway as well. So I hope she's feeling better very soon.
Me too. Thank you.
Okay, and so next week. We'll actually be on the same continent.
Yes, we will. Still thousands of miles apart, but on the same continent nonetheless. And then the quick trick question is, next week, will you figure out which time you're actually supposed to be on the air?
Yeah. It'll be 10 a.m. It'll be 10 a.m. there, won't it? And it'll be midday. That's right. Yeah. I've got that.
Maybe.
Something like that. Well, I want to thank Dave for being my guest today, and I want to thank everybody for listening to us, and everybody in the chat room for your lovely comments and interaction with us. And God willing, I'll be with you next week. So bye for now.
Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where do we go when we die? What lies beyond and what lay before? Is anything certain in life? They say life is too short, the here and the now, and you're only given one shot. But could there be more? Have I lived before? Or could this be all that we've got? If I died tomorrow, I'd be alright, because I believe that I've to work on. To
Do you want to learn about the paranormal? Join in for interactive chat with show hosts and other guests? Are you looking for a place where you can ask questions and share your ideas with open-minded people who accept all beliefs and faiths? Then check out Paramania Radio at www.paramaniaradio.com. The only station that shines a light on the paranormal, Paramania Radio.